Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania, and this is Mocha Gumbo. And I'm Kevin.
And I'm James. Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Now. Look at that.
Are we good?
Yeah, I'm getting some interesting. There we go.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Here?
I was.
Here. There we go. Yeah, are we fine? Because my headset's pretty low, so.
Yeah.
All right. That was. I knew I was very loud, though.
Well, I don't know when the last. A lot of people do solo shows this semester, so there's a lot of people just working with one mic, so that blue mic gets neglected. But yeah, we're back, and
I'd say better than ever, but I think I'm still pretty stressed.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it was about this break. I think a lot of people's breaks didn't line up for me. So it was even more
For people at home.
Yeah, it was even more of a tease for me. I went home and I was just wandering around town, still kind of busy. And,
in a fever dream kind of.
Yeah, and then I was just back. It was very weird. But I feel rested. I don't feel bad. I mean, I'm relatively rested. Did you get tanned? Did you go somewhere?
No.
No?
I just kind of get darker. Oh. As the seasons go,
it just reflects your. Yeah, you don't go out in the sunlight. It's just
get more oily. Yeah,
as you become more demoralized, you just take on a tint.
I mean, in a similar vein, all of my friends were either back at school or in a foreign country. So
yeah, I had a lot of. See, I wouldn't describe myself as necessarily rich. So, but I do, I have those, I don't know if you've ever met the kind of people that, they're like, oh, you have to travel, you gotta travel, and they don't realize that money exists, you know, they don't have any conception of it, so I have a couple of those friends, thank God they don't listen, but they're close friends, okay. But they're like, you know, people that caption their Instagram photo like with wanderlust, and it's like a bunch of star emojis, and they're like, and I'm like, you know, I can't just. Oh, that's interesting. Thank you, Hamilton. I appreciate it.
Oh, but, we don't deserve him.
I'm going in August. I'm very excited.
Are you? Yeah. No, you're not.
Yeah,
you're going to see Hamilton.
I freaked out when I found out. I lost it.
So give me the lead up. What was the scenario? Can you scoot my mic up or my headset up a bit? By the way,
yeah.
I'm connected to this one.
So, I, which one are you?
Right here.
Okay. I don't know where that leads.
I think that's the main one.
It was interesting. I don't know if that's doing it for you. I'll just turn up the main one. We'll figure it out after break.
All right.
But, it was very casual. My mom asks me to check her. She, like, part of her job, she, like, her company has like a Facebook thing, the company she works for, and she does a lot of social media, like outreach, and a lot of times she'll ask me to, you know, proofread and check and make sure there's not just little weird mistakes. So she asked me over to the computer, and it was just like a knee-jerk thing because she does it all the time, so I didn't really expect there to be anything. She's like, can you look at this for a second? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'm just looking at the screen for a while, and it's like a printout like of the tickets on an email. But I scrolled right past it.
Oh, God.
So I didn't even look at the images that have the big star with Hamilton pointing up in front of it. So I just scrolled down, and I'm like, I don't know what you're... And then, like, it's slow... She didn't say anything. It slowly dawned on me. And I'm never shocked or have that genuine... But my mouth literally dropped. And I, like, stepped back. I was like, you're kidding. There's no way.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I never... As much as I talk about it and as much as I've really overdone playing it in the car, like, I play it when it's not even appropriate, you know?
Yeah.
I could be at a house rager, you know, with people that are not into it, and I'll throw it on. But for all of that...
Like, ragtag volunteer.
Yeah, and I have, you know, every now and then you find one person that's cool with it when you're outside of the theater context, but I was like blown away. I never thought they would ever, because, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. Those are expensive
tickets.
Yeah. Like,
oh,
like yeah. 200 some
Something
odd
like
dollars.
That.
Yeah, it's insane.
Not bad seats either. I think it's first mezzanine.
I
could be worse. It's certainly not orchestra.
I would take seats facing the wall in the bathroom if I could. Jeez.
Yeah, I might even pay to sit in the lobby and just hear it a little bit through the walls.
Yeah, right? It's, oh my God. That's fascinating, though. That's fantastic.
I'm very excited. Very excited. Very end of August, too, so it'll be a nice transition back, you know, like might punctuate my summer.
Yeah, you know, get the best theatrical experience of your life until it gets ruined by senior year college.
Yeah. Senior year is either going to be, personally for me, one of the smoothest transitions out or just a hellscape.
I'm actually terrified about how quickly my life is progressing. I don't know about you.
Oh, but... sure. Can you believe 7 weeks until we're rising? 7 weeks until we're rising seniors.
7 weeks until, like, a lot of the friends I've made actually are gone. I mean, obviously, like, most of my friends are in our age group, you know, the 20 to 21. But I feel a lot closer to the senior class, this senior class, than I have any other senior class.
Yeah.
Just because of the, you know, clubs, organizations, mm-hmm. even classes I've associated myself with.
I haven't even begun to consider the amount of people in our mutual groups that'll be gone.
We're losing, like, maybe 15 people from just the Marquee Warriors. It's insane, yeah.
That's going to be awful. But you know what softens the blow, though? We had... I'm gonna tear up. We have probably the best incoming. We got a really good round of people this year.
Oh, the new kids? Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So, by the way, come see Guys and Dolls at some later date. I forget when it is.
April 4th, 5th, and 6th. No, probably know April that. 5th, 6th, and 7th.
There it is.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I gotta get my tickets.
Me too.
For people. I haven't done that
And
yet.
You guys should get your tickets too.
Get your tickets.
Yeah. Woo. Kevin plays probably a sexist person.
Almost. Kind of. Not really. I care about a woman. At least I care about a woman in this one.
You care about a woman, not women.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, that's, the plural is very important. Yeah, because if you say someone care, I'm really into women. That's depending on the context, but... like the character that's
really
a little weird.
Woman. That's exactly what Nathan Detroit is.
Yeah.
I almost said Nathan Lane. Who was Nathan Detroit, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I know people. I've talked to people and they're like, I hate Nathan Lane or I don't like him
really?
At all. And I'm like,
how could you not like that man?
How could you not like the voice of Timon?
Yeah. But he's also just generally likable.
Yeah. He's played some of my favorite roles ever. Mm. Bialystock for the producers.
Yep.
He was the name is escaping me now, but the father in Adam's Family. Timon and Lion King.
Papa Adams, I think. I don't know.
You know what annoys me so much?
Me?
No. So, I've been having a lot of conversations about Ratatouille because there was an article recently that was posted about how Ratatouille was one of the most well-made movies of all time, according to Chef. And it might have been Anthony Bourdain. I don't know. I don't think it was. But
okay,
it was like a big-name chef. And he's like, yeah, the movie just captures the feel of being like a line cook, the feel of being in the kitchen and making something, right? Especially that one scene where the really critical like food critic smells the food that... that reminds me of home, right?
Right. Any cook would really fetishize that movie, though. Because that's like what you live for, is that moment where you really have an impact on someone's life. So, which I has happened to me, and I agree. But it's just like, of course, you like that movie.
But the main thing was that annoyed me was in the discussions I have with my friends and family. They kept referring to the rat in the movie as Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah.
And his name is Ratatouille's Monster. And, like, I don't... that's one of my favorite jokes of all time. I don't know where I saw it, but I literally like almost tears crying like you right now, because everyone's like, yeah, his name's Remy. I'm like, Ratatouille's Monster, and they're like, what?
I don't know why I found that so funny.
It's,
oh my gosh. Oh man, that was, you really delivered that well. You caught me off guard too.
Thank you. Got a lot of surprises in the past few days, huh?
Oh, I could have a field day doing variations on that theme.
Hmm. Just like something that's very well known, but people are like, yeah, it's this.
Yeah, it's
like,
Rat Guy.
Yeah, so that was that. That whole lead up was just for that joke. I think
I'm actually crying.
Right.
I haven't.
I know, right?
Thank you for that. I haven't cried laughing in a couple weeks. Oh, wow.
All right.
you knocked the wind out of me too. Like my momentum is gone.
All right.
Oh, jeez. Oh man. I really hope one person was listening to that.
Yeah.
Because that was funny.
Guys and Dolls, though.
Yeah, Guys and Dolls is.
How do you feel about the show in general?
I love the show. Now, I'm also very classic American. I like lighthearted shows. You know,
like they can't.
I think in general they're less demanding. For the audience, they're less demanding. I think for the actors, they're less demanding.
Oh yeah, the music this year is so easy.
Right, this music's fun.
When we were doing it in practice, we got it. All the guys are.
And I don't know about you, but let this be known that even the guy I think that hates choreography the most in that show is pretty okay with it. I'm having fun with it. Yeah. Yes. I don't despise it. So, all around, I
even
like
Crap Shooters. It's just hard, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's really entertaining. And I love... It seems like the whole cast is really, you know... I like the balance between the ensemble and the main cast more. I think the ensemble, really plays a big part in this one. Because that's what's annoying, especially when it's a theater. We're a student musical group, you know? So you don't want anyone to be auxiliary, and I feel like nobody really is in this one, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Ensemble's
huge. With Cabaret, we had the dancers and the main characters, and then the rest of the ensemble just kind of stood at the tables, right? And that wasn't any fault of whoever was producing it or directing the show. Just how the show worked. But this year, we have, the Crap Shooters, you have the named Crap Shooters, you have the main characters, but then you also have the other half of the ensemble, which is the mission band and the people in the Havana scenes and stuff like that, right? There is enough scenes where it's purely one half of the ensemble and then the other half that makes me appreciate how the show is being run this year.
You know what? I think it has a lot to do with this show is more of a spectacle. You sit, there's some laughs, and you're kept above water with the occasional joke and
rock some, the boat, you know.
And yes. But that's those numbers just come out of nowhere and they really catch you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can really just sit back and enjoy it and not have to seriously engage. I just think it's a lot of fun. I'm really a fan of it.
It's campy, and I can appreciate it for what it is because it's musical theater, obviously, right? It is one of the classic American shows,
right? That's what I was gonna say. I like the Sinatra era vibe, you know. So it's supposed to be what it is. It's not, you know, it's supposed to be lighthearted and capture that sort of magic.
Yeah, a bunch of goofy guys doing New York accents.
Although I do.
Although when
coming, me suggesting you come to the show is contingent on me being off book in the next 4 days.
Yeah, and as much as I love him, I need Jack to stop doing the accent.
What?
Jack Mueller. It doesn't work with his character.
I feel like if you're a fit, do you want to have a pre-show critique of Jack's character?
No, I love him. I love the guy, but I don't know. I think he should stick to hard-hitting cop instead of. What are you guys doing out here? It's just, I love him, but he's got the Minnesota in him. The Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. He does have a very hardcore Minnesota accent. Mm-hmm. It, shines every now and then.
Yeah.
By the way, this is an interesting anecdote. I don't know why this just came to mind, but I met someone, I believe they're still here, who one day, at the beginning of class, I think it was sophomore year, it was one of my Gov courses, and I go in, and they have a rich British accent, really refined, rounded, you know, almost theatrical. And they had it for about a week.
Like a posh.
Yeah. Almost like a transatlantic English, very, very affected.
Yeah, yeah.
Had it for about a week. And it wasn't, you know, it didn't sound fake. So after the week, I was I kind of got used to it. I was okay. At first, I was
that's getting cool. Ready to hear it. Yeah,
yeah, it's tickles my ear. But then a week later, it was gone. Completely gone. Huh. And I'm looking at the person, and I'm what? I had always had this idea, and I think I talked to you either on or off air about it, of doing. As soon as I got to college, freshman year, I seriously considered it the week up to, even though I was having a crisis. As soon as I got here, I'm I will make zero friends or people will think I'm a sociopath, but I really, really want to perfect an accent and do it a solid month and then just drop it. Could you imagine?
That sounds like such a you thing to think about.
How funny would that be?
Well, I think it'd be pretty funny.
You know, I would have to try and like, you know, perfect the accent. But once I got it down, that would be really funny.
Yeah. So you were looking at this person like, I wanted
that
to do
that.
That
was the person I was like, did they do it? I was a little jealous, to be honest.
So what was the outcome of that?
Nothing.
Did you never ask them about it or?
No. I didn't really know who they were. It was a class of 20 something people. So just enough that I didn't get to really talk to them. And, you know, it just never, I just let it slide. But it blew my mind.
Are you sure you didn't have a weird fever dream?
Yeah, I wonder that too. Freshman year, it's very possible. I kind of feel like half of that was just. I really couldn't distinguish between waking and sleeping life. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
Did not enjoy first semester of. No, let me correct that. I did not enjoy the first 4 or 5 weeks. Immensely hated the first 4 or 5 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, but then the. Second floor south crew. I was friends with my entire floor.
Yeah.
It was very cool dynamic. And but it was bad because I was so used to having this commune. Really, it was everyone on that floor. We were really close.
I feel like everyone does that in freshman year.
It was
like,
really nice. Yeah. I mean, it was super cool. And then I had that for a year and then it was just, you know, cut. You had to go live in like isolated one area with like two other people you knew.
I think that's why block housing is a pretty good idea. Like I was friends with most of the people in my dorm, or at least I knew everyone on a first name basis, or most of the people on a first name basis.
Right.
But I only really hung out with like 7 or 8 people.
Yeah.
And then like I just made a block out of those people. So.
Are you doing? I tried keeping the topics general because other people are listening, but next year because we're seniors, we get to. Try out the. I don't know if you're trying to do off campus at all.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do college owned.
Okay. Oh, me too. All right.
All right. So I guess we're enemies. Rivals, then. Yeah.
Well, did you know there? Well, I'm sure you got an email, but I didn't read it until recently. They are lotterying for the lottery. Obviously, really? There aren't enough people to be in the lottery.
Oh,
for everyone.
So you can start making other arrangements.
Right, early. Because they only want to put so many people in the lottery that everyone will get something. It's which one do you get? So you will know if you have off-campus housing. If you get in the lottery, you're off-campus in some capacity. But
wait, when is that coming out?
I think April 9th.
Oh, I thought that was the actual lottery. Like the week of April. So April 9th is not... It's 2 Mondays from now, so skip 2 Mondays, and then it's that Monday.
Mm.
I thought that was when the actual lottery happened.
They could come out earlier then, but I'm almost positive that that's what they're doing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, really want a 512 really badly.
Is that on McCartney or?
Yeah, whatever that one is, on the same street as campus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
It's very nice. Oh, have you ever been in one?
Fantastic. Yeah, freshman year, it wasn't
Mara.
Sammy's house.
House? Their apartments.
Oh, yes, Mara did live in one of them, yeah.
Did you ever...
Right next to Mojo, right?
Yeah. Did you ever go in there? Really nice.
Oh, yeah, really nice.
Yeah, like a lot of square footage.
Mm.
Like almost like a studio apartment. Like
yeah,
it's a nice
absolutely.
Place to live.
There are a pretty solid amount of off-campus houses. And like the problem with the lottery, I think, and I talked to Eric Sink about this for a while because, you know, I talked to him a lot because we live together.
Yeah.
And he expressed some disdain with the fact that you can try your butt off for 3 years and you still get put in the same kind of random lottery as someone who is just coasting by or like just
you
barely
getting
by. You
think it should be merit-based?
In some sense, like Eric Sink is a math econ double major. He's a 3.8. He's got an executive position in a fraternity. He's in like a bunch of clubs. He does a bunch of stuff for community service.
Mm.
And he gets the exact same chance to get a house as someone who, and I don't mean to be rude, but like someone who just like comes and plays sports and has a 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like that was really upsetting to him.
I don't know. I think if you made it a merit-based system, you would force faculty to adjudicate. One, you would have to make a very weird criteria. And if you make the criteria You could make it super comprehensive, but it would be super complicated and almost impossible to employ. Or you could make it very simple and neglect a lot of other features. Like if we made a GPA based, making it a heavyweight, then you could have a guy who has a 4.0 and does nothing, and then a guy who has a 3.1 and is part of three.
Yeah,
things.
And I guess like how do you weight other activities and stuff
right.
like that?
And then the guy with the 4.0 says, well, I don't do things because I want the 4.0. And the guy in the club says, well, trying to have more breadth and depth, and then you have to adjudicate between those two things. So I don't think
it should be like a meritocracy type thing, but I think I don't know. It in certain situations, I think it's just so insane to me that you can try as hard as you want, but you're not gonna see anything for it until after college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't get anything for doing a lot while you're here. They don't care about that. At least I don't think they do.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want to turn housing into an incentive. I don't know. There's something I would have to articulate it later into a better degree, but something puts me off about making the incentive to doing well or being engaged or whatever you want to be. Housing.
Okay, that's a valid point.
I don't know why. I'm not sure yet.
No, I think I understand where you're coming from. Because everyone should be guaranteed housing. Well, yeah. I mean, everyone still is guaranteed, but...
I think my assumption is if you get into the school and you maintain a certain, like a modicum of academic standing or whatever sort of standing, you should be viable for certain basic, you know. I might be open to the idea of making it merit-based, but I'm not sure.
It would be a lot to implement.
Yeah. Well, the practical side of it, like theoretically there are good reasons, and then you know there are some good reasons, and then practically there, it's almost impossible. Yeah. I think that would become a huge issue. All right, it is 5:25. We are 22 minutes into the broadcast, and I think it's time for
we did start pretty early today.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would like to begin.
Yeah, sure. You have to pull it up on that computer,
right? I really should start listening to my Discover Weekly more often.
Yeah, I don't have a lot for this week. Let's do Lost in the Wild by Walk the Moon.
Lost in the Wild by Walk the Moon from the album, off the album, What If Nothing.
I hate that album art.
Yeah.
It looks like I could have done it in Photoshop 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
It's so bad, right?
All right, so this is Lost in the Wild by Walk the Moon, and we will be back in a few moments. Enjoy the music.
Eyelids split at sunrise. Morning breaks like splatter paint. Wipe the dust from my eyes. Must have left before morning came. Flashes of the night come rushing in a stampede of misbehaviors. Just a sophomore running my mouth. I really thought that I could save her. Yeah.
show the teeth. Two wolves inside of me. Both of them hungry, and both of them trying to eat. They growl and show the teeth at war inside of me. Only one can live, only one can breathe. One wants to see me grow, one wants to see me bleed. One overcome with love, one overcome with greed. Strength for the fight, energy to succeed. The battle inside is sending me to my knees. Hate versus love, worst enemies. Only one can live, death versus victory. Which one will thrive is all up to me. Cause the one that survives is the one that I feed. The one that survives is the one that you feed. Love versus hate, worst enemies. But the one that survives is the one that you feed. So loud in my head right now. The two wolves at war just won't settle down. I never thought up in the moment how my mood must have affected you. Looking back on my actions, those things don't feed my soul. No, you never see it coming, these moments are testing you. You think you don't have it in you, but one thing that I know. Life's a trip, I'm tripping. 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 I'm gonna show the teeth. Me. I won't shout my anger and whisper my kindness. Sometimes it takes pain to remind us. And if I could, I wouldn't relive it, replay it, rewind it. I don't believe our best days are behind us. I am a rough approximation of all the information that's ever been provided to me. And this is my interpretation. I appreciate your patience. I am who I decided to be. Yeah. But I can put my honor on a shelf. Dishonorable, ain't nobody honest with themselves. If I'm really being honest, I'm a ghost, I'm a shell. Buying up everything that they're offering to sell. Now I'm aware of what I think about and dwell upon running. Choked out the bad, I'm here living in love it. Yeah, no fear, dearly beloved. I'm speaking from the back of my throat and pit of my stomach. Never too late for change. Keep any promise I made even when my mood fades. I learned a hard way to think before I opened my mouth. I made a map, I can figure the route. I sit alone, often riddled with doubt, hoping that one day we figure it out. I never thought up in the moment how my mood must have affected you. Looking back on my actions, those things don't feed my soul. No, you never see it coming, these moments are testing you. Have it in you, but one thing that I know. Life's a trip, I'm tripping. 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 I'm trying to show the teeth. Two wolves inside of me. They growl and shut the teeth. Inside of me, both of them hungry, both of them trying to eat. They growl and show their teeth. That war inside of me, only one can live, only one can breathe. One wants to see me grow, one wants to see me bleed. One overcome with love, one overcome with greed. Strength for the fight, energy to succeed. The battle inside is sending me to my knees. Hate versus love, worst enemies. Only one can live, death versus victory. Which one will thrive is all up to me. Cause the one that survives is the one that I feed. Hate versus love, worst enemies. The one that survives is the one that you feed. Life's a trip, I'm tripping. Life's a trip, I'm tripping.
I wanna share.
Welcome back. You're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania, and my microphone is not where it was. This has been Mocha Gumbo, and I'm James.
And I'm Kevin. And it still is Mocha Gumbo, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it has been and always will be until we graduate.
And we never return. I wonder if they'll let us come back, like, for our, like,
You would do that for me?
Yeah, I would do, like, a biannual reunion.
That'd be fun. I think it'd be fun.
You know? Come back. And I don't plan on... Well, I don't know about you.
I don't plan on talking to you.
I certainly don't plan on leaving, going far from Jersey. So, or, you know, we'll I'll be in the tri-state area.
Well,
yeah, sure.
For me, it's going to be tri-state area or Japan. And those are, it's two very, like, yeah, different areas. Yeah.
Japan, really? I mean, is that for business plans or is that because
yes,
you want to live?
That's for business plans. I have connections.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. Huh. My guy, Jeff Shindig. Sorry, not Shindig, Jeff Shindig.
Is it like family or?
No.
No. Oh.
He was the program coordinator for the abroad trip I took.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Through CIS Abroad.
Do you have any family in Japan?
I do not, no.
No.
I'm actually Chinese. But all of my mainland Chinese family is dead.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit morbid, but they were dead before I was here, so.
Oh, so screw them.
And then my my mother's parents were native, both Hong Kong.
Hmm.
And, they actually met here after both immigrating separately.
Oh, wow.
But they've passed not recently, like 5 years, so.
No. Oh. Sorry to hear that.
So that's fine. So, you know, being the rebellious person that I am, decided to take Japanese instead of Chinese.
Yeah.
It's just so much more fascinating.
I hope your parents were seething.
My mom was like, why'd you do that? And I was like, I thought it was cool.
Screw you, mom.
I was just like, I thought it was cool. And she's like, okay, then. And my brother comes in. And he's studying criminal law at the University of New Haven.
Uh-huh.
And my mom's like, oh, are you going to study something like Chinese? Because that's really important for, you know, that field, right? And he's like, nah, I'm going to study Russian. And she's like, why? What the heck are you going to do with Russian? And he's like, I don't know, like security stuff. And then my mom was like, come on.
It's also not even bad that your parents are encouraging. Like, Chinese is certainly not a bad language to learn.
Oh, no, not at all.
You know?
I feel like if you know Japanese, it gets a bit... Oh, actually, I think Chinese to Japanese is a lot easier because of the kanji. The Japanese use Chinese symbols for some words, so...
Like cognates?
Not necessarily, but you already know how to write them, mm-hmm. but they have different meanings.
So on the subject of families, when I was home, my cousin stopped by, and mm-hmm. I had no idea she'd been doing this, but, well, she has an internship, like, right by my house, so she just, I guess... I don't know how long she's been doing it, but when I came home, she was at my house because she stops by and she was working on like a full genealogy and it was so cool.
Genealogy? Like the study of genies, right?
Yes. Genies. apparently I have a lot of genies in my bloodline from Lithuania. Just found them in antique shops and like the
Lithuanian genies in
Southern District. But I found out, I was looking at just all of these different, it's not super extensive yet, but I was, I love biography.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just super interested in other people's lives. I love ghostwriting. I just really like that. And I found out, I was going through, like weathered papyrus, like, stained paper documents, you know, like, that would be in, like, a National Treasure movie. And I found that my grandfather's brother was in the first, they were a like feared battalion in, or a feared brigade in World War II. They were at Guadalcanal.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the first Marine Raiders. Their insignia is a skull and crossbones.
Oh, it's sick.
Yeah. And very I was cool. Like, whoa. Because I had heard from multiple people, you know, when you come back from Guadalcanal, especially, you're going to have some trouble sleeping. And I'd heard, you know, that about his history, and that he had those problems. And I'm like, where was he? And he was, like, one of the first people to storm Guadalcanal. Like,
oh, so he was up there.
Yeah, he was Pacific. And he lived, really. He was a private, but he
or did
was...
he die at the battle?
No, he came home.
Oh, wow, jeez.
But he was, like, the Pacific Theater, like, some of the first fights in the Pacific Theater, or, like, the transitional fights, he was there.
Wow,
it was really interesting. Found a lot of just randoms. I would love to do an extensive genie. I would love to see, you know, what my bloodline was up to in the 18th century, you know?
Yeah, it's at a certain point, though, how do you trace yourself back that far, right?
Well, there's... So, for being Lithuanian is kind of useful in this regard, because it's a very, very tiny country, and their public records are fairly accessible because they're a tiny country. So, Lithuanians, if I decided to talk to the embassy or whatever I would have to talk to, I could find, like, fairly reliable information about... I'm pretty sure... Like, Lithuania is an insular country, you know? Like, there's not a lot of... Of course, geopolitical conflicts really screw with the timeline, but it would be pretty reasonable to, like, try to find who my grandfather's son was. I imagine they were all in the same geographic location for a while, because I don't think I came from any Lithuanian royalty, which means they were probably living day-to-day on the land or at, like, a small business. Like,
okay, all right.
But... I'm certainly not involved in it. I was just sitting at the computer going, oh my god, that is so cool.
That is very cool. Yeah. Wow.
I love that. I've started to, I think it's as I slowly get older, I'm more and more interested in history. And not necessarily general history, probably not important history, but niche history.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I love finding out about the, you know, the first local library at a colonial town. You know, just little things. I don't know if you've ever been to Boston or something.
I think we differ on that then.
Yeah.
I was talking more like, and this history class with Bob Wiener especially has really, not necessarily rekindled, because I never thought I liked history in the first place. I always did kind of poorly at like world history, but like U.S. history, I was fine.
Yeah.
But the history of Europe and the amount of primary source documents we read in this history class it's insane. Like firsthand accounts of something like the Armenian Genocide, like something I would never have read about otherwise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just
a callous nationalist American.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. And even taking a history course in my freshman year or my sophomore year on Asian history, like, how often do you learn about Asian history? Right. You have to go out of your way to learn about Asian history. Even in world, it's mostly Europe.
Right.
But yeah, I do understand the sentiment on at least a base level, like learning more niche, more focused tidbits, but not on like the personal level that you were just talking about.
Well, no. I think it has to do with it's easier to contextualize the microscopic bits of history. You know, like what I find really interesting is I'm reading right now. I'm doing a lot of reading on Oliver Wendell Holmes, who is a Supreme Court justice.
Is that for your Gov class?
It's one of the seminars. He was a Supreme Court justice who did a lot of the free speech and labor cases. And he also oversaw like the trust busting cases on like those Roosevelt's like trust busting era. So I'm doing a lot of reading on him, and I find myself really, really interested in what otherwise I would could have never swallowed in an academic setting. Like, I'm actually interested in the Sherman Antitrust Act only because I'm reading about his life. And in reading about his life, it's contextualized. I'm looking at a human being's life relative to all of these other things. So I'm really capable of doing that. The ironic thing is general world history, you know, like the geopolitical movements of Russia in World War II. Those are millions of people.
It's very massive forces.
But it's because it's millions of people, it becomes a fact sheet and I get bored. Yet if I followed one brigade member's path throughout Europe, I could probably get a decent understanding of
the way the ideology wars work. Like, we learn you know Arthur Kessler? He wrote something like Darkness at Noon, The God That Failed, and stuff like that. And we learn about Wiener gave an entire lecture about German communism and German socialism and how they differed. And
to communism again.
Always. But he gave some like facts and stuff like that, and then we read about it in one of the books, but the books really generalized it. And then we get into a primary source document where it's an excerpt from The God That Failed, which was his Kessler's inception into the German Communist Party in 1931. And he talks for about 20 pages of the excerpt just about the daily comings and goings of the life that they had. And it's just you can see how he transforms himself into like almost not necessarily a puppet, but because he obviously still has his own mind, but like how much of an impact that movement had on in Germany from halfway across the world in Russia, right? Like the fact that you could be so influential, and that was incredible to me because when I heard like the spread of communism, right? It you know, people are just being communists, and then here Kessler is just talking about like, yeah, we changed our vernacular, we changed our lifestyle, and we wanted to believe that what they were telling us was real, so we had to change our mindsets to believe that we thought that too. And that was incredible to me.
No,
like, I understood it from such a
more personal level. Is it's incredible how much I don't care. Like I can, and you know, this isn't a disgusting example, but when you're in third grade and you're first learning about the Holocaust, it is really hard to care because it looks like, one, you're told this happened in 1940 and it's 2000 at the time, or 2004, 2005, I can't grasp the reality of it because it doesn't seem real, you know? And it's not that I'm assuming that it just didn't, you know, it's completely detached from me. It has no bearing on my life. But because it's such a general phenomenon, it appears like a fact sheet. And that has nothing to do with me whatsoever. And then once you look at something like Anne Frank's diary, and you're looking at an actual human being in these circumstances, it really comes to life. And only then do I have the wherewithal to be like, all right, maybe we should learn about this. Yeah, it's crazy. I think, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but did I ever talk about that post-mortem shop in New Hope?
Yes, you did, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what the little piece that really, you know.
Oh, like looking at an object and being like, this has historical meaning, right?
Right. Or like, this particular thing is evocative of so many human emotions. You know, like someone's prize, they were all possessions, like the chosen possessions of particular people. So like at some point somebody bought, say, a sculpture of a brass plane. They bought it for a very particular reason at some point. It probably cost them a pretty penny. Otherwise, if it were an antique, I would not care in the slightest. But then you know that was something they bequeathed onto a family member at some point in their life. Because they thought it had value. And then it's like, wow, you know, it's a very human thing. It's not just material.
It's a very, sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that concludes our segment on world history, biography, and death.
Mm.
Isn't it crazy? Yeah, it's just wild.
All the themes of the show.
The amount of variety, you know, because like some days we'll come in here, some weeks we'll come in here, and it'll be complete just
nonsense. We had a discussion a few weeks ago about video games as an art form. So
yeah, no, and then just I don't remember.
It sounds pretty cringy.
Yeah. You give it deserves its proper context. We're not. My parents actually told me I always check my text messages in case they're listening. They don't listen anymore.
Mm. Oh no.
But they would if we're drawling on too long about something boring like that, Frank would be like, "Kev, shut up. Go on to something more interesting." And in that realm, it is 5:53. We have 7 minutes left. But we have not yet done our word of the day.
Nuts.
Yeah, please.
I still can't.
Oh, you are going to love this
one. All
right,
one. Let's do it.
Okay, hold on.
Are we doing both of them? Or I'll look away, don't worry.
Yeah, I want to... No. You can look. You're fine. I want to surprise you. All right, so the Merriam-Webster word of the day. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it means yet, and I hope this is how it's pronounced, is yegg.
Oh, my God.
It means yellow egg.
There's no way.
No, it doesn't. Could you imagine?
I would flip.
Could you imagine if that were an important enough word? It's Y egg. And Jesus. just so we know we're correct here, I'm gonna go ahead and I actually have two separate. There we go.
Yegg.
Yegg.
Yegg is one that breaks open safes to steal.
Hmm.
So, like you're a yegg. He's a yegg. It's a noun.
Like, describes a hello, being. Police? I think a yegg has gotten into my valuables.
The rate of violent crime is going to go up because Merriam-Webster has officially disarmed the populace because no police officer is responding to that call.
It's a yegg.
Officer, there's a yegg. The hell was that?
Let me get my dictionary out real quick.
A yegg. I don't think that sound. No, that sounds like a colloquialism. That sounds like something gangsters would say. I don't think that's an actual.
Yeah, I can see that.
That can't be. Well, let me look at the etymology.
What's the other one?
Hold on, I gotta see.
Deriving from yellow egg.
Yeah. Safecracker first appeared in print in English around 1873, but English speakers evidently felt that they needed a more colorful word for this rather colorful profession. No one is quite sure where yegg came from. Great. So that means two people sat down, two like probably high society, well-to-do human beings with their cosmos sat down, and they said blah 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 safecracker, and one of them said I don't think so. He said, what do you prefer, how about yegg?
What if he just sneezed and he was like yegg, and then
oh that'll work.
To sneeze. Yeah, that's fine. What? No. Oh, sure. All right. It's like one of those Shakespearean words. One guy made it up himself, and then everyone was like, you know what? Why not?
Yep. This one's interesting. I think it's pullulate.
Pullulate?
Yeah, pullulate. Let me see the, to breed, produce, or create rapidly.
Interesting.
Pullulate. I'll turn it up a little bit.
Pullulate.
Pullulate.
Pullulate. I don't really want to talk about this one.
That's what you say to your coworker when he shows up not on time. It's a pullulate.
There you go.
No, Kevin.
I muted him, everyone. General populace, you're welcome.
Did they hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Thank God.
Pullulate. I might actually use. I like this one. I like the mouthfeel. That's another word. Did you know that's a word?
Mouthfeel?
Mouthfeel.
So like just how your mouth, like how you orient your mouth when you say words?
Yeah, like I've always, people try to like describe the appeal of certain words and...
why some words are just gross.
Yeah, linguistics and like there are obviously sciences studying language and like how it physiologically how language works.
Mm-hmm.
And mouthfeel is one of the facets of determining why certain words are preferred and some aren't.
Do you have any preferred words?
Words with good mouthfeel?
Yeah. I'm glad this is happening right now.
Yeah, good. Words with good mouthfeel. I can just say my favorite word. I don't know if mouthfeel is why I like it, but I like inundate.
inundate. Yeah, I could like that inundate. One.
I think I just like that for what it means.
I like, you know what I like? Habitual.
Habitual? I can I see don't know that. Why. That's like a nice fat habitual. Word.
Habitual, yeah. It's just like a...
Yeah. And also, oh, what was... There was one I was obsessed with that I used... I overused it, because it just sounded so good.
Or a technicality?
Technicality. Yeah.
Anything with like a lot of...
Oh, perfunctory.
Perfunctory. I like that.
Like that.
Anything with like hard and fast syllables.
Yeah.
Well, like I think soft syllables, you know what I mean?
It's yeah, it starts with a the emphasis is always second syllable.
Hmm.
And it ends quickly.
Yeah.
Perfunctory. All right. It is 5:58. Just gonna wrap up for the sake of wrapping up. We will be back. I'm trying to think about our schedule. Actually, no, we'll be doing all these shows. No, we won't. We not for Tech Week.
Yeah, well, it depends on when Tech Week starts. Or what time
I'm
Tech
sure
Week
it'll
starts.
Be a Tuesday. Or I'm sure it'll be a Monday. I think we're moving in Sunday.
No, I mean, like,
and it time starts
wise,
Monday.
Time wise.
Oh, it'll definitely be like 5. Like, I could not imagine it being less than 4
yeah,
hours.
That's fair.
It'll probably be like a 4 to 10 day.
Hmm.
That's why they call it Hell Week.
It's so crazy to me. That we still have like 7 weeks of school left, but Tech Week is so soon. Because Tech Week to me feels like the end of the semester. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
So much.
And that really came out of nowhere.
Oh yeah.
Right.
I feel like I feel like we had more time after the break last year, but that's neither here nor there. I guess.
Yeah, I don't. And also, I feel that way too. I don't think it's true though. Or we might have had a earlier break. I don't remember.
Yeah, that could be it too.
All right. Well, we will be back next week for sure. And possibly the following week, who knows? But in the meantime, this has been Mocha Gumbo, and you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Eastern Pennsylvania. I was Kevin.
I was James.
And have a wonderful week.